Good day, and welcome to the AGI Therapeutics Interim Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to your host today, Mr. David Kelly. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining the AGI call. With me this morning is John Devine, our CEO. As you know, I'm David Kelly, the CFO of AGI. I'm just going to start off by going through the slide presentation, which was posted to our website about half an hour ago. It's about an eight or nine page slide presentation, and I think we'll just work through that. Just to start off, as you know, we issued two press releases this morning, our interim results and also a press release that goes into probably more of the scientific information around Resular, and John will be talking specifically about that as well this morning. Of course, as part of the interim financial statements, we spent a lot of time discussing the new business strategy of the company, and that's probably the area of most interest to the listeners today. John is also going to talk about that, but I'd just like to take the opportunity to probably start off by talking about the interim financial statements, and then John will take over and talk about the Resular data and also the new business strategy. We'll do the presentation in that order. Turning to what's the fourth slide in your presentation, which is the financial slide. I won't spend too much on this, but the financials are relatively straightforward. Back in June, after we had announced that we weren't proceeding with Resular in the IBS-D indication, we did indicate that we were going to take steps to limit the further spend associated with the ARTIST study and take certain steps to rationalize the business to really get down to a core amount of cash, which will underpin the new business strategy. In June, we also gave an update to say that we thought that that cash amount was going to be in and around $12 million, and that's probably the figure that most people are focused on today. You'll see in the presentation towards the end of the columns of numbers here, there's a cash and cash equivalents amount of $15,073,000, and that was our cash position at the 30th of June. However, I think it's important to note that as a result of closing out the ARTIST program and taking certain steps to restructure the business, that we have had a number of liabilities which were discharged this quarter to finish up both those projects, and that liabilities of just short of $2.7 million. That gets us down to what I'm calling our net cash position of $12.4 million. Just slightly above, I think, what we forecast. Our current forecast would be that this cash is sufficient to fund the new business strategy and to start rebuilding value in the pipeline of products that we have for at least the next 2 years. Again, we can come back and address that number later on. I'll hand over to John now to talk about the post-hoc analysis of Resular.
Thank you, David. I'm on slide five for those of you who are working with the slide presentation. Back in May, as you may recall, we reported the top-line preliminary results of our ARTIST-1 pivotal phase III trial in IBS-D. Since then, we have performed extended and extensive analysis of the data, the efficacy data that was generated in that clinical trial. Here today, and in the matching press release that we issued this morning, we basically are indicating that we believe, and the key conclusion for us from this analysis is that Resular at the two higher doses, the medium dose and the high dose that were evaluated in ARTIST-1, show unambiguous and clear-cut efficacy in relation to relieving a variety of symptoms associated with chronic diarrhea in IBS. We think this is an important finding. It's one that we've spent a lot of time working on and looking at in different ways. We believe that this represents a significant profile of activity for this drug. We therefore believe, as you'll see as we work through the new strategy for the business, that the activity of this drug in other indications where chronic diarrhea is the dominant symptom, that Resular, we believe, will show important therapeutic value. Well, that's probably the first key important conclusion and the most important conclusion that we've arrived at in relation to the analysis of the Resilar data. There is more detail in the matching press release. We've also indicated in that press release that we've also seen, which is a little different than we originally reported in May, that we have seen when we apply certain metrics and look at certain populations and certain patient characteristics, that we have seen indications of a benefit in terms of improving pain severity. For those of you who recall our description of the ARDIS 1 results in May, pain was an area where, from the perspective of the predefined FDA-approved endpoints, we had not seen significant improvements in pain. That is unchanged, but we do believe that within the data set itself there are important pointers towards the situation, the circumstances, and the patient types where improvement in pain symptoms may well be observed. We have not today come to any final conclusion on the implications of those findings in pain. It will require a number of months to further discuss these with both thought leaders in the area, key researchers in the area of functional pain, and probably most importantly of all, have an opportunity to review and discuss those findings with the FDA. On the next slide, slide six, we also provide an update on the safety of Resilar. We didn't say very much about safety in May because the main focus was on the preliminary results on the efficacy side, but we now have had an opportunity to review in detail the safety profile of Resilar as established in ARDIS 1, which was a three-month double-blind study. We also, as you may recall, also had, as patients exited from ARDIS 1, given the opportunity to patients to enter into an extended safety study, which we call ARDIS 3. So today we're in a position to give you a picture on the safety of Resilar from ARDIS 1, and also now based on the preliminary results from the extended one-year safety study of ARDIS 3. Overall, the safety profile of Resilar was excellent. It was well tolerated. There were no side effects or serious side effects of particular concern to AGI. We've paid a lot of attention and spent a lot of time looking at, in particular, the cardiovascular safety profile of Resilar, given that Resilar itself is derived from an original form of this drug, which was cardiovascular in nature. We're very satisfied, based on the extended blood pressure monitoring, ECG monitoring, both in ARDIS 1 and in ARDIS 3, that we have successfully dissociated the cardiovascular activity of the original form of this drug. And what we are looking at now in the form of Resilar is a drug that is free of any clinically meaningful effects on blood pressure or cardiac function. So combined with the efficacy conclusions from the previous slide, overall we believe that Resilar today still represents an important product asset within our portfolio. And as you'll see as we go through our new business strategy, we believe we've begun to focus on potential indications where the therapeutic and the commercial value of Resilar will still be realized. Moving to the next slide, which really introduces our new business strategy, and there are a number of key features that we'd like to explain and talk about. The first key aspect of the new business strategy for AGI is that we will now, from this point forward, focus on products that are directed towards unmet medical needs in specialty indications. And I will actually talk in more detail on what the implications of both the unmet medical needs and the specialty indications are in the following slide. Because of this new focus, and because AGI has always had the ability to look at products in different indications, the type of development programs, the type of KME, known molecular entity strategy that we've adopted in the past, means that we chose to be in gastroenterology rather than had to be in gastroenterology. Now with this new focus, we're able to look at products that look at unmet medical needs and specialty indications across a much broader range of therapeutic classes. So we are no longer going to be exclusively GI-focused, although we do obviously have a number of programs which still remain GI today. Looking at the criteria that arise from this new strategy, we have done a fundamental review of our portfolio of products in order to identify which programs and which indications are aligned with this new strategy and which programs should no longer be subject to internal investment in terms of clinical spend for AGI. In this context, we've identified what we call core programs. These are built around two products, Rezilar, as I've just been describing to you, and also AGI-004, which is a product that is a transdermal patch of a drug called mecamalamine that we have had and continue to have in development for chemotherapy-induced diarrhea. The core programs around Rezilar are focused, first of all, in a number of chronic diarrhea states. This is very logical and very rational, we believe, based on the profile of activity that we've seen and that we've concluded on in terms of the ARDIS analysis. We've identified a number of lead indications where chronic diarrhea is an unmet need, and we are today developing more detailed plans around those programs. In order to ensure that we have the maximum patent protection, IP protection, and proprietary position and priority position, we're not in a position today to identify the specific chronic diarrhea-based indications, but it is our intention over the next few months, as we secure our priority position, to disclose more details on these indications. Rezilar itself has a unique profile of activity and pharmacology. This is why we've been able to demonstrate a cardiovascular-free, motility-based activity of Rezilar. We have spent the last 12 to 18 months further exploring the activity and the pharmacology of Rezilar, and based on all of that work and the results that we've observed, we believe there is a very sound basis to exploring the activity and the therapeutic value of Rezilar in a new indication that is outside the area of gastroenterology. That again is a program that is subject today of preparing patent filings. And once those are secured, we will again disclose what this indication is. AGI-004 is a program that we already reported on earlier this year with very encouraging and promising early proof-of-concept clinical trial results. It is now our intention to pursue 004 in the next stage of phase 2 clinical development in chemotherapy-induced diarrhea, an area where today there isn't an approved and useful product. As a result of identifying our new core programs and indications, we've also acknowledged that there are a number of valuable products in our portfolio today that no longer meet the strategy of this company, and it is our goal and our intention to now begin the process of looking to find licensees for these programs so that we can realize near-term and future value for the company through partnering these particular programs. Over time, it continues to be our intent to add new products that meet our business strategy to our portfolio. And over the next 2 years, it is our intention to conduct a number of value-creating clinical trials to both focus on the core indications that we've indicated and to identify the particular value, both therapeutic and ultimately commercial, that those products represent. The next slide gives you a sense of the particular reasons why we have decided as a company to focus on unmet medical needs and specialty indications, and in many cases where these products actually meet the requirements of orphan drugs and orphan drug development. Unmet medical needs offer a company of our size an opportunity to develop products in a faster and more efficient way than in more traditional indications where it's a more competitive situation. Unmet medical needs have particular connotations in terms of US FDA development and can, in the appropriate circumstances, qualify for fast-track development. and priority review by the FDA. Our focus in the future on specialist indications is a recognition that as a company, for us to participate in the ultimate commercialization of these products, that is beyond the capability in primary care indications, where in the United States, you need a sales force of roughly 1,000 sales people to get right coverage and correct coverage. Specialist sales forces in the United States, depending on the therapeutic area, can range from 20 to 40 to 60 sales reps. Ultimately, we think both from a commercialization perspective, from an investment in commercialization, and from an ability of AGI to participate, these represent more accessible indications and opportunities. By broadening the horizons beyond particularly the focus that we've had traditionally in IBS, we think that being able to look carefully and select ahead of time clinical indications where there are well-defined patient populations, objective diagnostic criteria, where the clinical endpoints and the regulatory endpoints are developed, and where they are based on objective methodologies, will facilitate our ability to develop products with clear-cut endpoints, with smaller clinical trial requirements, and ultimately have a higher likelihood of success. Some of the indications that we've already talked about and that we would be focused on over the next 2 years fall into the category of orphan products. Orphan products obviously address smaller patient populations. In the United States, that would be typically no more than 200,000 patients. There are particular advantages to being able to receive orphan designation in the United States, and indeed outside the United States. Those would include, for instance, a recognition that because the patient populations are smaller, the clinical trial requirements in turn can be smaller. Ultimately, there's also a benefit in terms of enhanced statutory market exclusivity. Overall, we think this approach and the type of focus that we've identified will allow us to pursue clinical development of our core programs in a more efficient way, overall with lower cost of development than would have been the case heretofore for the indications that we have pursued to date. These indications, particularly focused on the unmet medical need, offers significant pricing advantages, which is an important feature. We've captured today in the top-line peak sales numbers on this slide a view on what we believe the potential commercial value of the core programs represents. As you can see, successful development and launch of products in these unmet medical needs, but addressing specialist indications, are very significant. Even in orphan indications, represent significant commercial value given the premium pricing that can be achieved. That really kind of is a summary of what our focus and strategy is. The next steps for us as a business in terms of beginning to implement and execute on this new strategy is that over the next few months, we will prepare very detailed clinical regulatory programs interacting with key opinion leaders, investigators, and where appropriate, regulatory authorities. We will begin the process of out-licensing the non-core programs and seek to secure, as I said, both short-term and future value around those products for the company. Over time, we will continue to identify and bring into the portfolio products that meet the type of business focus that we've just described. As David indicated at the beginning of this presentation, we've already undertaken a significant budgeting exercise around the indications that we're focused on, and we're very comfortable that we have today within the company adequate funds to see us through the next 2 years of R&D activity, and allow us to execute and evaluate the results and the clinical outcomes within the current financial resources of the company. We have already taken a number of important steps for the business in terms of managing our internal spend, and that will continue to be the case. Our goal and our priority over the next 2 years will be to initiate, execute and report on important value-creating clinical trials around our core programs, and the ancillary spend within the company and the business will be managed in that context. So overall, we hope we've given you a comprehensive view of the thinking and the approach that we as a management team and our board recently has approved in relation to rebuilding value within the AGI business. And what we'd like to do now is invite questions.
Yes, I think there's a number of analysts listening into the call who follow the stock, and we certainly would be happy to invite questions from them and deal with those questions.
Thank you, gentlemen. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. To ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll take questions in the order received and take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star and 2. Again, please press star and 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. We'll now take our first question from Tracy Butcher from Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to ask, the $12.4 million you have, you say that you believe that will fund 2 years of R&D. I just wonder what you've budgeted for within that. Have you budgeted, for example, for a phase 2 trial for 004 and perhaps a proof of concept study for Rezular, or just to get a bit of flavour of what you think you'll be able to achieve with that level of spend?
Yeah, Tracy, what we've built into the budget are phase 2 clinical trials in relation to the three core areas. That would be the 004 in chemotherapy-induced diarrhea, Rezular in this new indication, which would really be an initial proof of concept trial, and also phase 2 work in relation to at least one of the lead chronic diarrhea indications.
So one for the non-GI indication, one of the chronic diarrhea indications, and then perhaps one for the 004 product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And can I ask about the timing for the 004 product? Because, I mean, obviously, you have a bit more work to do on the Rezular in terms of working out what the next stages are, but do you have more clarity for the 004 product, and can we expect something like a trial to be started soon, perhaps before the end of this year on that program?
You're correct, first of all, that obviously we have some more work to do in relation to some of the regular indications in terms of investigators and indeed potentially regulatory authorities. On the other hand, as you might appreciate, we actually have a lot of the normal sort of requirements for clinical trials, like a large supply of phase 3 stage clinical supplies in relation to Rezular. So our expectation today is that, in fact, all these programs, both the 004 and the Rezular programs, would be beginning early in 2010.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder to participants, to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star and 1 on your keypad. Please remember to unmute your line to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll now take our next question from Mr. Jack Gorman from Davy. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Just have two questions, please. Firstly, you've mentioned the prospect of out-licensing the non-core programs which you've outlined. Just wanted to get a sense of how much management time you think you'll need to devote to such a task. And the second question relates to the prospect of the potential for any new candidates to be added to the portfolio. And again, I suppose, will you have to sell or will you have to out-license and raise cash before you necessarily can in-license any products from the other side?
Yeah, in relation to your first question, Jack, as part of the exercise of getting to this stage in terms of new business strategy, we have already prepared the documentation and the presentations that would be the basis of approaching potential partners around the non-core products. So we have what we think is our kind of ready-to-go presentations to potential partners. In terms of management time, therefore, around that, we do, as you know, have a senior member of staff who is whose role is business development, and he will focus primarily on that activity, whereas the rest of the management team will spend, you know, the majority of their time focused around executing on the current and planned programs. In terms of new products to add to the mix, of course, we have to be selective in terms of adding opportunities, both in terms of if there are significant financial barriers to that and the incremental commitment of funds to anything that we bring in. We do believe that we would have the capacity to add at least one product into our pipeline in the relatively near term. We, in terms of some preliminary discussions we've already had with other parties, the ability of the AGI team to deliver and execute on development programs, particularly in the United States, is in particular a key asset that many of these companies recognize. So it would not necessarily be the case that there would be larger, substantial or barrier financial terms at the beginning of accessing those products. And really our focus and our selectivity would be really around our ability to execute on the next phase of clinical development. We do think that there is, as said, at least capacity within our budget today and our resources to, if we find the right opportunity, to at least undertake one additional product in the relatively near term.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
As we have no further questions at this time, gentlemen, I'd like to hand the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, well, I'd just like to thank everybody for their time and attention. Obviously, we've probably covered a lot of ground. We've provided, we hope, a good bit of detail in the associated press releases, but we are, of course, available for individual calls and contacts over the next few days. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This now concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.